Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Thank you. Are you good, ladies? Are you good this evening? The Lord is good all the time. He's good. You may be seated. Thank you so much, Pastor Candice, for that beautiful welcome. My goodness, as you were reading and saying all those beautiful things, I was asking myself, who is she talking about? I realized it's me, and I was saying, oh, please help me, God. They are saying I'm a good communicator, so I need you, Jesus, I need you, Holy Spirit, I need you, Michael, I need you, Gabriel, everyone, I need you. Please come here just to help me. But I just want to take this time just to tell you how excited I am to be spending this evening with you. It is not a burden, not at all, especially when you are among the people that you know they love you. Thank you so much, Pastor Byron. Thank you so much, Pastor Candice. Thank you so much, Pastor Kathy. And we just want to appreciate you. And I didn't see Pastor Stephen, but we just want to say thank you for this time. Oh, I see you there at the back. So love louder. You know, the reason why I want to get to the point, they've introduced me and they've put some spices and some flowers. So let's forget about that. But what I want to do, I just want to get to what I'm here to do so that at least I don't waste time. You know, oftentimes when I'm given time back at home to preach, I do not finish what I'm supposed to, you know, dish out to the people. So I'm just praying and hoping that 40 minutes is enough for me in the name of Jesus. So, yeah, Pastor Kathy, I like popcorn and I love chocolate, so I need God to help me. So, my name is Pindi. I love chocolate and I love popcorn more than the movies. When I go to the movies, I just go for the popcorn. And this evening, you know, I'm so excited that I'll be speaking to you on this subject, love louder. And just to explain to you what I think and I believe we are trying to say unto you as girls, as daughters of God, when we say you need to love louder, we say you need to be intentional and you need to be intense and passionate in demonstrating the love and compassion to others. You demonstrate that love, especially to those who are not saved, those who don't know Jesus, those who don't have a relationship with God. And I've actually realized that we are called as a church of Jesus, as a church of Christ, to love all people. No matter who they are, no matter where they come from, we need to love them because all people are precious to God. And the reason why they are precious to Him is because they are made or they've been created in His image and after His likeness. So when we say you love people, we say you love those who are for you and those who are against you. How many of you this evening know that there are those people who are just against you? You've done absolutely nothing to them to deserve, you know, the hatred that they have towards you. Those are the people who are against you. But when we say you love louder, you love all people because people are valuable and precious to God. And I want us to, for a moment, consider the state of our world. We are living in a very cruel world, a very dark world, a very fallen world. And I believe, you know, because of the brokenness that we are surrounded with, we see great and great evil and wickedness. Not only that, but we see pain. When you drive around, you see pain all over. You see poverty, you see hatred. You see jealousy, you see anger, you see bitterness, because the world that we're living in is very dark indeed. And I believe whatever we are seeing, whatever that is surrounding us, the wickedness, the great wickedness that is surrounding us, is because the enemy, he's not asleep, he's at work. And I believe the Lord has created you and I And he ensures that we are alive even during these times, the times wherein we are faced with great wickedness and evil, so that we may bring that flavor of love even to this world that we are living in. The Bible says, for this reason was the Son of God made manifest. For this reason was Christ Jesus, for this reason did Christ Jesus come here on earth, so that he may just destroy the works of the enemy. And I believe we are called to destroy the works of the enemy. And one of the greatest weapons we can use is love. Yes, I know we've got a number of them, but this evening I am here to talk about this greatest weapon that the Lord has given us, and that is called love. And when Christ Jesus was asked about the most important commandment, he answered in Matthew chapter 22 from verse 37 to verse 40. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor. You shall love all men. You shall love all people as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet." And when you look at the very same verses that we just read right now, it means, you know, when there's one thing, or if there is one thing that we owe to God, we owe to man, it is love. Because love is our duty. Love is our debt to man and to God. Because God is supposed to be the first focus of our love, and people are supposed to be the second focus of that very same love. And the second thing we know there is that the basis of our conduct as children of God is based on the love that we have. If we love God, if we love people, that is going to just, you know, regulate everything that we do here on earth. And it's going to guide us in all our dealings with men. The reason why we see people doing, you know, wicked things is because people don't love God, and neither do they love men or people. But I believe that as soon as we love God and we love others, then we begin to lead lives that shows that indeed we are the called ones of God. That is why we are well able to love people. And I want us this evening, I'm telling you, I told you we are going to get to where we're supposed to go. And this evening, I want us to see some of the things, practical things that we can do for us to be able to demonstrate the love of God to mankind. And the first one, we love louder by connecting to the source of love. I'm not sure about you, but I've actually realized that I am so flawed, it's not even funny. I am so selfish, it's not even funny. Actually, granted, all of us are selfish. It's just that I'm confessing, and I've decided, you know, I need to embrace the fact that without God, without Christ Jesus, I can just, you know, look at my own needs and focus on all that I want to do for self, for me, for myself, and just do those things for myself and no one else. And some of us, we thought we were so loving until we got married. And I know, you know, the first few months, because of the goosebumps, because of the love, the romance and everything, there was nothing wrong with you and your husband. Until a few months later, then you realize, no. I can't be taking care of this one. I need to take care of myself. Why am I supposed to tiptoe around him and serve him? And yes, because granted, all of us, we are selfish. I think, you know, the greatest curse of our fallen nature is selfishness. We are born selfish. I'm yet to see a baby. As soon as that baby is born, that baby says, "Mommy, was that painful? Can I make you tea?" No. Babies don't do that. As soon as they land here on earth, they start screaming. They want attention. Mommy, take care of me. Sometimes you don't even know why they are crying. It's because we are born selfish. And the reason why I'm saying for us to be able to love louder is only if we connect to the source of love. We don't love because we are loving. We love because of Christ Jesus, who lives within us and who causes us to love people, especially the unlovable. Because there are those people, you know, you just look at them and you say, God help me. Other than loving them, you feel like strangling them. That's where you realize you need God's love. And the truth is, you know, when Christ Jesus gave his life for us, we're not deserving of his love. So why should people perform before you can give them the love that they deserve? We didn't do anything for us to be saved today. It is by grace that we are here. It is by grace that we stand here to preach. And he allows us, knowing so well that we are not even, you know, close to being perfect. But he allows us because he's so patient with us. And we are saying love is patient. So we need to be patient with people. Not because we are full of patience, but because Christ Jesus lives in us. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 John 4:15 to 16, verse 15 to verse 16, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We need to abide in love. Can I ask you this question this evening? When was the last time you spent time with love? Just for love to love you, for love to infuse you with who he is. Because we are saying, for as long as we abide in love, then we are well able to walk in that love. And this evening, the Lord is saying, I should tell you, the reason why some of us, we are so impatient, the reason why some of us, we are so irritable, even this evening, is because we have neglected that time with love. So that love can teach us. Some of us, we just want to say, Father, thank you that my children are still alive this evening. That I didn't murder them. But I need you, Jesus, to teach me how to love them, especially these teenagers. Oh, my God. Some of us, we need to go there and spend time with love and say, love, this dear husband, oh, my God. What have I gotten myself into? But, Father, as I call upon your name, I know you are here. Give me that love, oh God, that I may even overlook some of the things that are driving me up the wall, oh God. And you go out of that place with such energy to love and say, you know, I'm ready to love you again. You know, I've actually realized that marriage is not only for pleasure. Marriage is for holiness. And some of us, we actually realize, you know, how I don't want to say our hearts are full of evil, but somewhere closer to that. You know, at first I thought I loved Jesus and I was saved and all those things until I got married. Then I realized, Jesus, I need you. And 22 years later, I'm not planning to go anywhere. Because love is right here with me. And I've committed that I'm going to abide in his love. I'm going to abide and spend time with him. The Bible says, when Christ Jesus called his disciples, not only did he call them to go and preach, not only did he call them to go and cast out demons, but he called them to be with him first, before they can go out there and preach to people. So I believe that some of us, all that we need, tired as we are, We just need to go back to him and say, Lord, you know, sometimes I look at the Church of Jesus Christ and some of the things that we call prayer. Then you realize, my goodness, maybe even God, when he looks at us, he asks us himself, what's wrong with my girls? It's not about us fighting and kicking the enemy. It's about you having a conversation with your daddy. To say, Dad, oh, this is one of those days. Today I am so depleted of energy. I am so tired. I need you. I need your wisdom. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Give me the power to do that which you have called me to do only for this day. The Bible says sufficient for a day are its troubles. I'm not praying for tomorrow, God, but I pray for today because I know tomorrow you'll take care of it. But today I pray, may I be this loving individual. May I be this loving wife. May I be this loving boss. May I be this loving pastor. Some of us, our love ends here on the pulpit. I love you with the love of the Lord. And you even ask yourself, what is that? Because until you demonstrate it, it's never love. Until you show it, the Bible says, for God so loved the world and he gave. He demonstrated his love by giving his only begotten son, who is Christ Jesus. And I am saying you can never love louder unless you connect to the source of love. For you can never give something that you don't have. You can never give off that which you don't have. So you connect to the source of love and he fills you with that love and then you give off that love. The second thing. Is it practical enough? Yes. Spend time with love for you to be able to demonstrate love to others. Okay, the second thing. You love louder by being counter-cultural. Not conforming to the standards of this world. Not imitating the culture that is surrounding us. That's what the Bible says. And what is the culture? What is the standard? Or what are the standards of this world? The world says, you love those who love you. You hate those who hate you. And sometimes the world doesn't have to tell you that. You can even sense it within you. When the Holy Spirit begins, you know, to convict you about some people in your life. And some of them, they don't have to be very far. Your in-laws. Okay. I thought I was the only one who had some problems. Thank you, girls, that I am not alone. That is why you need God to help you. Because you cannot love those who love you. You cannot greet those who are friendly to you. And ignore those who are mean. And ignore those who are arrogant to you. But you love all people. Because God expects us to do that. You are not good to those who are good to you only. But you are good even to those who are, you know, your enemies. Some of them, they just appointed themselves to be your enemies. There is nothing good that you can do because they just don't love you. They don't like who you are. They don't like how you look. They don't like your dress style. Your children, they think they are ugly. And I believe we love our children. All of us, we love our children. And all of us, we look at them and we're thinking, bundles of joy. But some people, they look at them and say, what are those? And the Bible says, we love them. We love them. We love those people. Because, you know, our first response to God is to receive love from him. Our second response to him is to give off that love to others. And are you giving off that love? Especially to those who are least deserving. You know that this one, she doesn't even deserve that Christmas present. You've scratched her out of that list to say, this aunt not. Mother-in-law, sister-in-law. But if you want to be a child of God who's going to, or who demonstrates the love of God, the unconditional love of God, you scratch out those that you love to say, no, no, these ones, they understand. Sisters for life. But these ones, they are my assignment. Maybe the Lord has called me just for them, to love them out of that hatred, to love them out of that cynicism. You just love them out of those things so that at least when all is said and done and you are no more, they'll say there was a woman who loved me, even when I was not deserving of that love. Some of us, we are still struggling with our children, with our husbands. You know, there's a big, big ask. The Lord is saying in the book of Matthew 5, from verse 44 to 45, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus, what are you saying? I can't do this. Honestly, I can't. I need him to help me to do this. Because it says in verse 25, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And I believe some of us, we've been misrepresenting God by only focusing on our, you know, people, those who love us, those who celebrate us, those who are cheering us on. We are just focused on those. And what about the strangers, people who are coming for the first time at church? Because of those cliques, we are with our buddies. We forget about them. What about those ones? You know, sometimes I don't believe someone can be just, you know, nasty because they chose to be. There's a story behind that. And some of us, the reason why we are so impatient with them, we can't even stomach and stand them, is because we do not understand what they've been through. It will take us just to sit down with them and understand where they've been for us to understand why they are acting like they are acting. And to be able to love them out of those, you know, bad spaces they find themselves in. Because I believe we are called for that. For what will it profit us if we love, you know, our people? Spend time with those who celebrate us and buy presents for, you know, for those who would return the favor, because you know your birthday is around the corner. They would do that. What will it profit us? The Bible says even sinners, tax collectors, they do that. They love their own. How would the world know that we are followers of Christ and we are different if we act like them, if we do like they do? That is why I'm saying we need to be countercultural. They should ask themselves, what is wrong with this one? You know, I show her that I don't like her, but she's, you know, on my case. Just sit on that case until they are okay with the fact that they need to receive the love of God that is from you, or that comes through you. Because the world may resist eloquence and reasoning and force, but they cannot resist the power of love. And if there's one weapon that we can use, that God has given us, it's the power of love. Let's use that weapon and make sure that, you know, we just reach people, not only with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but with the love, to a point where they say, why are you so different? Why am I not like you? Why are you so patient and you are well able to share the gospel? Some of us, we are quick to share the gospel. And the reason why people, they don't come to church, Pastor Byron, is because someone in here said the gospel. And they looked at them, they said, no, 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 no. If this is how Jesus is going to make me look like, thank you, Jesus. No, I'll pass. So rather we love them. And they ask us, why? What's the story behind your patience and that love and that kindness? And then you are well able to tell them. about this man called Jesus Christ. The third one, you love louder by doing good works. And I bless the Lord that even Thrive Church is well able to reach, you know, the people who can't, you know, take care of themselves. When I look at, you know, even the announcements, the news that we just watched, and I see that we're reaching out even to those young girls, those families that can't even afford, you know, to buy those goodies that we need on a monthly basis as women, then you realize that we are called to do that as a Church of Jesus Christ. Especially to those who can't even say, you know, thank you. This is my gift to you. The only thing that they can say is thank you. That's it. We need to take care of those. We need to take care of the orphans. We need to take care of those who are destitute. We need to make sure that we are here for them as the Church of Jesus Christ, so that they may know that there is a God who loves them because of what we are doing as the church. Can I say this? We are not saved by works. No matter how good you are, if you don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus, you would never, you know, experience his salvation and you won't see heaven. But we are saying, you are saved for good works. The Bible says, it is by grace that you are saved, not of works, so that you do not boast. And it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I believe good works are an evidence of our faith or salvation. People are well able to look at us. That is why Paul says, show me your faith, and I will show you my works that support the faith that I have in Christ Jesus. And I believe all of us, we need to lead such lives so that people are well able to look at us and say, truly, that is a woman of faith. That is a girl that is full of faith. Not only that, good works are God's love flowing through us. So when we do good works, it's like God's love is flowing out to his people. That is why the Bible says, so let your light shine before men, so they may see your good works and praise your Father who is in heaven. I believe the reason why people, they don't take us seriously, is because they see our good, or they hear our good words, but they can't see our good works. Because the world cannot see your love for Christ. They cannot. We can just stand here and say, I swear, I love Jesus. People won't know. You can say, I have faith in Jesus. People won't know. But as soon as you start doing some things that Christ Jesus begins, you know, or requires of you, then they begin to say, we can see that indeed you are a follower of Christ Jesus. Because words cannot clothe the naked. Words cannot feed the hungry. Words cannot house the homeless. Words cannot take care of the orphans. Words cannot take care of the elderly widows. But I believe God can through us, if only we just love louder through good works. People are well able to see God working in and through us. Because the world cares little for our words, but it has a sharp eye for our good works. The world cares little for our words, but it has a sharp eye for our good works. The fourth one, I'm almost done. Love louder by seasoning your speech with salt. As much as we are saying, you know, we shouldn't be known by people who are preaching and not supporting whatever we're saying, you know, by works or good works. But we need to make sure that when we open our mouths to say things, our speech is seasoned. Just shake that salt. Some of us, we need to remind ourselves, you know, every morning. I'm not saying we need to be alcoholics, but we need that salt. A bit of salt. So that when we open, you know, there are people within the house of God, you dare meet them by the door, you'd feel like turning back, going back home. Yeah. Just to go back home. Because you feel, I'm not going to hear even my lovely pastor's preaching, because whatever she said was a TKO. It knocked you off. You can't even retire. You know, you can't even what's the word? Not retire. You can't even stand on your feet and say, you know, God is good, because of one word that they've said to you. That is why I'm saying, if we are going to love louder, we need to be mindful of the things that we are saying, how we communicate with people. Some of us, we're thinking, yo, you are such a gentle woman of God, until we ask your children. That is why we've learned, Pastor Candice, Chris and I, to say, before we can even appoint pastors, you know, to take care of pastors, of campuses, we need to call their children as well. To say, are you giving us permission, children, for us, you know, to release mommy and daddy to take care of the Church of Jesus? Do you think they're going to do a great job? And some of the children will be saying, not now. Because they know we love Jesus. With the very same mouth, we are able to worship God and praise Him. And sometimes the things that come out of here, especially when we are not at church. Some of us, you just wait until Monday. From the car, as you drive to work, some of the fingers that you lift, you know, when someone cuts you off, you ask yourself, oh, is this the one who was lifting her hands up yesterday at church? I know we are laughing, but you know, people are looking at us and they are thinking, hypocrites. Because we are, one moment we are this thing, the next moment we are something else. And who are we fooling? That is why every time, let's be mindful. I don't even want to talk about, you know, social media. Some of us, the way how we are so negative, the way how we criticize people that we decided to follow. And everything was good when they were posting things that, you know, resonated well in our spirits, until they said something that we don't like. And then we lambasted them. Then we, the things that we posted, it's like, you know, you took time to say, she doesn't know what's coming. She won't know what just hit her, because I am coming with such vengeance. And as soon as you post, you criticize. You know, if you've got nothing uplifting to say, if you've got nothing good to say, if you've got nothing nice to say, say nothing. Say nothing, because you've got nothing good to say. Because we're supposed to love louder, even through our speech. Do not be a self-appointed critic. Some of these things, when they post something that you feel you are not for it, just overlook that. And when they post something that is good, you encourage them to say, how uplifting was your post this morning. May God bless you, dear sister. You are dealing with whatever that they are, you know, positively, other than being, you know, a critic to whatever that they are saying. Because God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, to judge it, to criticize it, but He wanted the world to be saved even through Him. So be gracious, be kind. The world has enough critics than it can handle. Just tell yourself, every time you wake up, this is going to be a good day, because I'm just going to put a smile on someone's face through the words that I'm going to say. When you get to that office, compliment those who are looking better than you. It's not going to take anything away from you. Just say, girl, you look dope. I'm not sure whether that's the right word. But you just say, hey, girl, wow, my goodness. You it's not going to take anything from you. At actually, people are going to love you for that. People would want to be surrounded by you because when you open your mouth, encouragement comes out. You build other than destroying. And the last one, love louder by being in union with other believers. I think this is for us, the church girls, those who are saved. You know, it amazes me that some people would be saying, you know, I'm not a people's person. Actually, I don't know what that means. Actually, if you are here and you're one of those, maybe let's meet by the door so that you may take me through what you mean by that. Because the reason why you are here, you came here on earth because of people, through people. That's biology 101. The reason why you are here, you came through people. You did not fall from wherever you came from. It took people to raise you. It took people to groom you. It took people to take care of you. So what are you saying? Actually, I've realized that there is no self-made anything. Self-made millionaire. Self-made preacher, hey, self-made, all these beautiful things, entrepreneur, and nothing is like that. You are not self-made. You are who you are because of people. Some of us wouldn't be standing here preaching the word of God if the women, the elderly women, did not, you know, embrace me to say, come here, little one. This is how you do ministry. This is how you preach to. This is how you love God's people. This is how you serve people. Today we are shining and some of them, they are there at the back. And they are not worried because they don't care who gets the credit. For as long the work gets done, they are happy. So we need to make sure that as God's girls, we come together, we connect with each other. And when we connect, we need to be intentional. We encourage each other. When someone has lost, you know, her loved one, we support her. We mourn with her. We don't celebrate when she's mourning. Some people, you know, you've got those people, you're thinking they are your friends. And then you realize that these people, they don't celebrate when you celebrate. They only celebrate when you're crying, when you are in sorrow. We need to make sure that we hold each other, you know, by hands, and we say, I am here for you. I'm here standing with you. You pray over them because tomorrow you are going to need them. This is life. Today you may seem to be stronger. Today you may seem to be, you know, energetic, loving God, and everything is going well with you. But it's only a matter of time. This is life. This is not a curse. Sometimes we are up, sometimes we are down. And when you are up, make sure you connect with your sisters. You support them. You love on them. You encourage them. You tell them you can do it, even when you see them struggling, because we've been called for that. Do not do life or ministry alone. You were never created to do life and ministry alone. That is why, show me a person who's a loner. I'll show you a very depressed person. Because depressed people, they don't want to spend time with others. That is why we need to make sure that we go out there and we connect, you know, with our sisters, and we connect with the church as well. Because love delights in the fellowship with those who are loved. John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Because we are called to do life together. Actually, we are better together. We are stronger together. We can reach further together. We can fight better together. We can serve people better together. Some of us, the reason why we are struggling, even in losing weight, I know it's just an off-ramp. It's because we are doing that on our own. We are better together. Because we are well able to encourage each other to say, girl, no, let's go. No, let's go. You cheat, you eat all these wrong things, and you tell sister, oh, I've messed up. No, it's fine. Tomorrow is another day. Let's do it. You need a cheerleader. You cannot do life on your own. Some of us, the reason why we are even messing up in our marriages is because we don't have cheerleaders. People who are saying, let's go. Let's go for it, girl. You can do it. I know I was there a few years ago, but look what the Lord has done. And the very, very same God who did this for me can do that for you as well. We encourage each other because two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. The only time it's lonely and cold at the top is because you chose to climb that mountain alone. And all that I'm saying is that we celebrate God that you are climbing the mountain. Celebrate God that you are succeeding, but make sure you don't succeed alone. Because as soon as you get up there, you would need people who would encourage you, who would assist you. Praise God that when Joshua was fighting the Amalekites, when Moses ascended that mountain, he didn't go there solo. He went with her and he went with Aaron. As if he knew that he was going to get tired. Let me tell you, as much as life can be so good, all of us, at some point, we are going to get tired. You are going to get weary of ministry. You're going to get weary of raising children. You're going to get weary of, you know, taking care of your husband, your family, and you are going to get tired. That is why when you climb that mountain, make sure you have your sisters. And when you get weary, they are well able to lift your hands up. Let's pray together, even this evening. Can you close your eyes as we pray? Father, even this evening, we just want to thank you. We thank you, my God, that you are here to help us love louder so that people can know that we are your followers. To help us, oh God, cheer each other up. To help us, my Father, support one another. To help us, my Father, to love one another. To love even those who are not easy to love, the difficult people in our lives. We thank you that you are helping us, even through your Spirit who is here this evening. Your Spirit who's shedding your love abroad in our hearts. And we believe as we leave this place, Father, we are transformed. Our paradigms have been shifted. We thank you, my Father, that our attitudes are changed for the better. As we go out there, people would look at us and see that indeed something good has happened in our lives because we have spent time in fellowship with each other and with you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that which you have called us to do as your people, we are well able to do because you do not leave us alone. You never leave us. You never forsake us, but you are there to support us through and through so that we may continue to do your work, so that we may continue to love your people. For it was because of love that you sent your Son, Christ Jesus, to come here on earth to die for us. While our eyes are still closed and our heads bowed, you are here this evening. Relationally, you're not doing well. And it is your heart desire to see yourself loving louder, even the people that God has surrounded you with. But I am here to introduce you to love. I'm here to introduce you to Christ Jesus, who's well able to enable you to do that which you feel you cannot do. Because as human beings, we can just go to a certain point. But God is well able to make us do the things that he expects us to do. And if you here, you don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus, or you are not saved, you do not belong to a community of believers, you do not have a church, you do not have sisters who are cheering you on to do the good work that God would have you do. And you are saying, I want to connect first to the source of love so that I may connect even to his daughters. And you're saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and the Savior of my heart. And you're saying, I need you. Come today, right now, for the sake of my family, for the sake of my children, for the sake of my business, for the sake of my company. I need you, Lord Jesus, because I cannot do this. I cannot do life without you. Wherever you are seated, just raise your hand and put it down. If you are here, you're saying, please introduce me to this Christ Jesus so that he can be the Lord and Savior of my life. Wherever you are, just raise your hand and put it down this evening in the name of Jesus. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand as well. I see that hand as well. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands there by the balcony. I see those hands, and I believe the Lord is here to enable you to do that which you cannot do naturally, because you cannot do that which the Lord would have you do without his enabling power. Please pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you this evening. Thank you for your love, that you love me even when I do not deserve it. And even this evening, I open my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior of my heart. And I commit this evening that I would live for you, that I would run after you, that I would keep connected to you, so that I'll be able to do that which you have called me to do. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for forgiving my sins. With my heart, I believe you died and resurrected. And with my mouth, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.